Father, today as we go into your word, I thank you that your word is alive, that it transforms us, that it is the software for our hardware, that it programs the mind, the heart, to powerfully live life with peace, joy, and the miraculous. Guide us today as we go into your word and help each of us, Father, to just plant it in our hearts and to rise up victorious in Jesus' name. One day I got done work and hopped in the car and was thinking about things and got to the house and pulled out my key, ran up the steps, put the key in the lock, and I couldn't get it to turn. So I'm turning and then I'm banging the door a little bit so the lock might joggle it free or some reason. And I'm sitting there frustrated because my key's not working. And then all of a sudden this realization came to me. We had sold this house and I had moved to a different neighborhood and I was living in a different house. But habit took over, and I found myself, without even thinking about it, driving down the same old streets, going to the same house I used to go to, and the key wouldn't work. Now, I've got news for you. I had to stop that habit. And by the way, I think I did that twice in the next number of months, that if I just kind of got out of sorts at all, concentrating on something else or meditating, that by habit, I would end up there. And I want you to understand that every one of us came to Jesus when we did with habitual thinking. We have habits. We are programmed that when certain situations arise, we think a certain way. It can be negative. It can be critical. It can be judgmental. It can be arrogant. It can be sinful. It can be something that is so destructive to our lives. And if we don't deal with these things, they are going to destroy us. So many believers are screaming and binding the devil, not realizing that their own habitual thinking has programmed their heart, and their deepest beliefs are wrong. They are born again, spirit-filled, loving God, but these deepest beliefs, what you know, psychology would love to call subconscious beliefs, are there, and the Bible very clearly talks about it. In the late 1990s, Stanford University did a study of really successful people who are able to get an area of their lives together and rise up to the top. So I don't have all the criteria here with me right now as to how they measured these successful people. But when they isolated why they had achieved so much against impossible odds, against all sorts of things that came against them, when others were never able to do what they had done, they isolated it down to five things. Of those five, 85% was one alone. And the other four, for those who are interested, are things like intelligence, education, special talent, luck. But those only were about 15%. As they measured these people and their ability to rise and overcome and build businesses and organizations, and 85% was attitude. Now, when we use the word attitude, we think just positive or negative. But the term attitude is the processes of your believing and your thinking. It is everything that you have learned, believed, etc., thought through. And this entire area, worldview, God view, your view of marriage, your view of the Bible, your view of the opposite sex, your view of love, your view of other people, your view of what storm, everything that you have, and we have beliefs about all these areas, they are what we would call our attitude. One of the most respected psychologists of our day, William James, said, "The most important discovery of this generation is that people can change their lives by changing their attitudes." Now, you'll read that and right away someone goes, "So we just got to get positive." No, this term attitude is way bigger than just being a little positive, way bigger than just trying to deal with a minor issue. Earl Nightingale said, we become what we think about. We don't become what we choose, we become what we think about. Now, if you learn to choose your thinking, you can. It says we become what we think about. Our minds are the steering mechanisms of our lives. Well, the Bible's been saying that for a long time. James Allen says, a man is literally what he thinks. His character being the complete sum of all of his thoughts. This issue of attitude, this issue of character, it comes from this whole issue of what you think, what you believe. And what you pay attention to is more powerful than anything you can imagine. Today, we really think that we can pay attention to something that's negative, something that's awful, and it doesn't matter. I know it's not real. I don't believe it anyway, but I love listening to all the gossips, or I don't believe it anyway, but I'm sitting here spending all my attention focused on something that has no value for us. But what you give attention to, okay, is determining the desires, the values, the thinking that goes on the inside of you. So we, when we come to Christ, we have habitual thinking. We have habits of thinking, habits of believing. There's certain things that have controlled us, how we were raised, the stuff that has gone on in our lives. And we have to make a decision to put off, as a Christian, to put off that old you and put on the new. As I travel and I minister and I preach and I talk, I have just found in the body of Christ, if you say, Leon, what is one thing that you think is crucial that is literally causing the body of Christ to fail and go into areas, and some would say it's the devil. The devil was defeated at the cross. The most he can do is try to deceive you, to use your power against you. If you were to ask me, I would say it's a misunderstanding of the renewing of the mind. Renewing of the mind is not more information. The renewing of the mind is putting off an old thinking pattern, an old belief, and putting on a new one. Just like me habitually driving to the old house that we had sold months or a year previously, if I continue to go there day after day after day, you're going to go, Leon, there's something wrong with you. You know that you sold the house. Somebody else owns the house. You know that you live at the other area. Why in the world do you keep going back there? Because if I don't deal with habitual patterns, they keep taking me in those places. Attitude. Attitude. What is attitude according to the world? Well, they say it's a mental outlook, a frame of mind. It's how we think. It's what goes on inside of a person. You know, there are so many people, I'm not done in here often, there are so many people that inside, they look cool on the outside, but inside they're a mess as judgment and criticism and fear and panic and low self-worth and all this stuff just starts coursing on the inside, and on the outside they've learned to put on that calm, cool mask. But this attitude, it's what goes on inside of a person. Thoughts, feelings about yourself. Your thoughts and your feelings about others. Your thoughts and your feelings about circumstances. Your thoughts, your feelings about life in general. Attitude, it is similar to a mood, a disposition. It is an expectancy. These men and women from this area of psychology studying the human race are discovering that people have this attitude. This is what they're calling it. And this attitude creates an expectancy. Doesn't that sound like faith? Trusting in God or fear, giving credence to the negative. People who have generally positive attitudes expect the best. People who have generally negative attitudes expect the worst. In both cases, these expectations are generally fulfilled. All right, These are men and women who are studying the human race. Now, I don't give them any more credence than the Bible. The Bible is far superior to them. But for some reason, people love to know, you know, what scientific tests finding and what are they saying about this? They are saying that this attitude in people is determining their future. Your thinking becomes the controlling factor. Your focus, what you give your attention to, can deceive you or it can bring life and peace. In Proverbs chapter 4:18, it says here that people who are in darkness don't know over what they stumble. When you unpack that, and you begin to think about life for those who do not focus on Christ. And I would have to say that this is for those believers as well who have not walked out this crucial put on, put off. Or actually the other way, put off, put on. And it says here, they don't know what they stumble over. They will bemoan and talk like, I don't know why I meet all the wrong men. I don't know why nothing ever works out financially. I can't understand why there seems to be a curse on our family. Nothing ever seems to go right. Why would we just get there? Why do I feel so empty when I have everything? They are stumbling in life. They are not enjoying life. They're not going anywhere in life. And that doesn't mean just those without Christ. It is those who have given their lives to Christ, but haven't done this crucial, incredibly important process of putting off habits that are no longer you. This habit I had of going to my old house, that's no longer me. That's not my house. It's not my yard. It's not my problem. The old problem is not my, it's not even in my world. I have something different. And we have to put off these old patterns, these old habits, these old thinking. And if you don't, it's going to feel like the devil's in charge of your life. It's going to feel like everything is just going down and nothing ever rises up. You won't be able to manage your own emotions. You won't be able to get faith to work in your life, because faith is not just a little dabble do you of trying to be positive. Faith is the sum of all your thinking, all your thoughts that you need to deal with. So the Bible becomes this stunning, amazing thing that you begin to go into. And daily, day after day, according to Romans chapter 12, it says that you are renewing your mind as new situations arise. You go from single to being married, from married to having kids. All of a sudden you hit financial issues, health issues. You hit betrayal, lying, cheating. You hit storms of all kinds. And as you are walking through those circumstances, you have existing beliefs that come from that old pattern of living. But that's not who you are. So many Christians who struggle think they're trying to become someone different. No, you already are that person. It's just that you've got to put off this old thinking. Your heart is the autopilot of your life. On a plane, and we teach this here at our church a lot, on a plane, they have an autopilot that as you put in the coordinates, that plane is going to go exactly where those coordinates say. Now, here's the issue. You have a heart, which is this deepest part of you, but did you know what is the programmer of your heart? It's your thinking, your attention. It's not because you picked one verse a day and you confessed it once, and then the rest of the day you give your attention to wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, dumb things. It's what we give our attention to. And attention is our focus. It is something we're thinking about, processing, getting through. As believers, we need to begin to focus on God's word. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, attend to my words. Give them your attention. So many people today that I speak with, I mean, it's just innumerable after a while of talking to Christians who'll say things like, I can't get this to work. And they'll claim a promise. They'll talk about something in their life. Listen, this is falling apart of my life. My finances are falling apart. My health is falling apart. My marriage is falling apart. My head is falling apart. I can't get rid of the anxiety. I can't get rid of the troubled thinking. I can't get rid of the anger. Listen to me. The Bible teaches us very clearly that your thinking, what you are paying attention to, is creating boundaries. In Romans, it says very clearly there, chapter 8, verses 4 and on, that to be carnally minded, or to have the mind set on the old you that is dead and gone, if you're a believer, to set your mind on there continues to bring death to your life. That means there's going to be, and death is a continuum. I've watched people who stubbornly hold to what they think, what they believe. They won't get into the Word. They won't get their attention to Jesus and what His Word says. So there is no process of put off the old, put on the new. One of the verses there says, you didn't learn Jesus. Well, what do you mean learn Christ? It means you are a new creation, but this old training, you've got to discover something and put it off. And once you do, and once you make that decision, all of a sudden, something inside of you rises up from this new creation that is the real you. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all vigilance, because out of it, it says, are the forces, the springs, or the third definition of that word is the boundaries of your life. If you struggle with how do I get from where I am, if you are literally just, it's like Groundhog Day, year after year of the same thing in some area of your life, your health, your mind, your emotions, your feelings, your relationships, your marriage, your home. If it's the same old, then what is going on is there is a boundary. You know, when you put a child into a room and you put one of those gates across so they can't hurt themselves, it's a boundary. That kid will sit at that gate and just try to get through, poke their arms through, because they realize I have access to this room, but this boundary stops me from seeing the rest of the house. And our beliefs create boundaries. We can see others being happier. We can see others walking in health. We can see others working things out, getting through storms, and then we just continually deal and struggle with death as a continuum. Meaning, you can see what the Bible lists as a curse in Deuteronomy, but yet it's in your life. And according to the Word, it shouldn't be there. In Mark chapter 4, verses 22, it starts talking about this wisdom and knowledge. And listen closely to this from the Amplified. Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed. Nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. He's talking to you about you. There are things you need to know. There's secrets you haven't figured out yet. Others might have that secret. You haven't figured that secret out yet. And He's not trying to hide it from you. He is saying, listen to me. I want to show you the secret. Can you, whenever we get into a circle and there's people there looking at issues and things, we start talking about stuff. When someone says, do you know what I think? People either go, lean forward going, I want to know what he thinks. Or I go, who cares what he thinks? But there are people in your life that if you could ever get to and share your problem with, and they were to say, do you know what I think about this? You would be leaning forward in your seats, trying to listen to that wisdom. Well, God will tell you, do you know what I think, Leon? Do you know what I think, Betty Sue? Do you know what I think, Wayne? He just wants to tell you. He's not hiding any wisdom. And every person that's listening to my voice could have a uniquely different area that you're struggling with. And God is saying to you, there's no secret I'm keeping from you. Do you know what I think about what you're going through? And then He wants to reveal His Word to you. He wants to guide you into the truths, because the Bible is what He thinks. It's interesting here. It says, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. Now, we think the Bible is just, we're supposed to understand some kind of textbook. No. This is God's thoughts about your life. And one thing I've noticed about Holy Spirit is that He knows what you need next. He knows right now what is causing the most pain in your life. He knows right now why you can't hold your emotions together. He knows right now why you can't break through in career or in a relationship with Him. And He knows the secret next step to you. And He's never going to hide it. He wants to reveal it. Then He says this. This is Jesus talking, and He said to them, "You be careful what you are hearing." Why? Because the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear is going to be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has, more will be given. And from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. This is teaching continuum. Life is a continuum. Once you learn the principles of God who says, "Let me tell you what I think." And you go, "Yes." And you hear what He says. And you listen and you think on it and you obey it. You are now in life, this Zoe life of God. And it has a continuum. It begins to spark and touch everything in your life. But if you don't reach out and pay attention to the teachings of Christ, especially the cross, then you're going to find that what you have will be taken away. And things don't get better. They just keep getting worse. I've looked at people who are looking at me with tears in their eyes, with this sense of weeping, and just say, "My life is such a mess. I'm so cursed. I don't know what's going on." And then I'll listen to them for a while and I'll say, "Okay, well, we can weep together for a while, but did you want help?" Well, yes, but help to them is a magical incantation of a prayer, like a hex, or like certain words that people will use in Satanism or whatever. They think Christianity is the same. And as I begin to tell them that deep in their core, there are beliefs, and those beliefs have been put there by their thinking, and that we need to change this. We've got to literally renew your mind with the way God thinks so that it's not just a one-time miracle, but that your thinking begins to reprogram your autopilot. And then day by day, month by month, you begin to rise out of whatever is limiting you and holding you back. And it's a stunning thing when you begin to see God change your worldview. He changes your view on relationships. He changes your view on the people that you love. You find yourself, rather than being judgmental and critical and just complaining and whining and murmuring, which was the old habit that is still with you. The Bible says it'll destroy you. The Bible says it'll limit you. The Bible says it'll bring death to your life. If you don't deal with the things you should have put off from your thinking, from these habitual thinking, your habitual thinking is making your decisions. It's repelling people, attracting people. It's repelling health and it's attracting sickness. It's repelling joy and it's attracting depression and anger and unhappiness. All of these, according to the Bible, are determined by something called the heart and the deepest beliefs of this heart. The world looks at this, they can't fix it. But what fascinates me is that psychology will look at this and say this thing that they're going to call attitude, which is the sum of all your beliefs, that whatever the sum of those beliefs gets you expecting, you generally will get what it is that your attitude is expecting. And so I want to challenge you today that attitude on the inside, if we use that word, that usually reflects on the outside. The Bible says, by what we're saying and doing. You see, you are a sovereign being. You are made in the likeness of the image of God. And here is where a ton of Christianity struggles. If you are made as a son and daughter of God in His likeness and in His image, and if God is sovereign, all-powerful, then He has given you, listen to me close, He has given you authority over your own life. You get to believe what you want. You get to do what you want. You get to go where you want. You get to say what you want. And He's not going to control you. That's a robot. He's made you after His likeness and image with this incredible freedom to believe, to talk, to say, to act. But listen to me. He put his thoughts together as to how you should think, how you should talk, how you should act, how your relationships can thrive. And if you don't do it His way, I promise you, you'll pay a dire price for ignoring what the Creator of you is saying. And He's saying, fix your attention on the principles in the Word. Obey what I ask you to do, and you're going to discover that these principles, I'll show you how to walk in a joy and a peace. I'm going to teach you how to have relationships that are so filled with laughter and joy and friendship and romance. But you've got to listen to you've got to make sure that the software, which is the Word of God, is being placed into the hardware, which is you. You see, according to the psychology, they're saying that attitudes are like magnets. We are pulled in the direction of our thoughts, negative or positive. Your mind unconsciously will take you to whatever you are thinking about. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he lives, so he is. So he moves, so he does, is what it's saying. Isn't it stunning that the Bible doesn't disagree with sciences when it's accurate and proper science? Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the very boundaries of your life. Everybody here, including me, everyone watching me, there are boundaries as to what you can do. And by that I mean in a restful, enjoyable way. Anything you try to do that is beyond that, it'll cost you. It'll cost you your health, your life, your relationships. But if you can take this thing they're calling attitude, which is the beliefs of the Word of God, the way God thinks. It is the mind of Christ, this logos. The Bible is not a book of magical hexes that you can just say a few times and pray. It is a book of thinking. And thinking is incredibly powerful. Nobody's born with a specific attitude, a way of thinking. It's been developed over time. And because of that, you can choose new ones. Holy Spirit is here today, and Holy Spirit has been given to you. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit rises up on the inside of you as your teacher. And He knows right now what it is you need to begin to think about, focus on, pay attention to. It's funny, whenever I talk about paying attention, you know, Sal and I had four daughters and then a son. And girls are so interesting because us guys, me and Zach, will hang out and, you know, we'll go shooting guns or we'll go do some stuff. And we love to talk and visit around some stuff. But the girls are wired for conversation. And if they're telling me a story, they might stop twice. And in that story, I go, Dad, pay attention. Because they can sense so quickly when my attention moves away. We must recognize that the Bible is this brilliant, stunning, phenomenal book, and it requires your attention. It requires you thinking. Plato, hundreds of years ago, said that thinking, and I'm not saying he's 100% right, but so many agree, that thinking is you asking yourself questions and then you answering them. What a dangerous thing to do. You see, if you ask yourself the wrong questions, you're going to live a life of horrible answers. Like, why don't people like me? What a dumb question. But yet, if you go down that road from that question, your brain is always looking for evidence. You're looking for evidence to prove the hypothesis of what you are thinking about. That's why the Bible says when it comes to faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you begin to believe something, you begin to look for evidence of it. You begin to look to the Word of God. You begin to look around you for evidence that this is the right decision. And so when you're in the negative side, you're continually looking for this negative evidence. I'm right. I judge that my spouse. I judge that friend. They think this. They're and you don't recognize, oh, you're going to find evidence. But it doesn't mean that it's truth. identify your self-talk. Did you know that if you want to see incredible change in your life, it's not about you praying unless you know how to pray. Just because you pray doesn't mean a thing. I know people who pray all their doubts. I know people who pray all their unbelief. I know people who pray the problems in their life. And the Bible teaches us to speak to mountains and to believe what we say is going to happen. I said this a few weeks ago. I mean, some people pray like this. Oh, Lord, you know the bank has taken over my house. Oh, God, you know no one at work likes me. Oh, God, you know my marriage is on the rock. Oh, God, you know, and I need your help. Oh, God, you know. I'm going, what is with this guy that needs to tell God what he thinks he doesn't know? Your declaration. The Bible says you can have what you say. Why are you saying what you have? Even small changes in believing and thinking cause incredible changes in your life. As we look at the Word of God, it's interesting. We've got to learn to put off the old habitual thinking, the old critical ways you have, the old ways you have of judging people, blaming people. The very first thing the flesh does, because the Bible says in Romans 8, it says that we are, if you're going to think, if your mind is set on the old way of thinking, it's going to continue to bring death to you, even as a believer. But if your mind is set on the Spirit, that it brings life. And so we must learn, when Holy Spirit puts His finger on an attitude, on a mistake, on something that you are doing, decide right then, I put that off in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, you're going to help me to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's within you. Now I got to put Him on without me, which means in my mind, which means on the outside of me, in my body. And Proverbs 15:24, it says, the path of the wise leads upward to life. That means when you give your life to Christ, you should be continually succeeding in every area of life. You should continue to rise up. It's what the Bible says. Then it goes on to say, then you can avoid the gloom and the depths of the place of death. This continuum. Make sure that you start thinking for yourself. Stop thinking your daddy's thoughts, your mommy's thoughts. Stop thinking your teacher's thoughts. Stop thinking your friend's thoughts. Think for yourself. Stop thinking somebody else is an expert on life. Why do you think that? Why as a human race do we want others to kind of decide how we think? We watch TV, we'll read a book, and rather than being critical thinkers, we just absorb and accept whatever is going on. We must learn to think for ourselves and go to the Word of God, like Romans 12:2 says, and it says, don't let the world, it's teaching us there that if you don't think for yourself, that the world is gonna push you, it's gonna form you into the same shape everybody else has. But if you wanna be transformed, the Bible does not teach behavioral change. It teaches complete freedom. To me, you're not free if you're trying to get free from something and it's a habit, for example, and you're just changing your behavior, like behavior modification. And I'm glad it's better than nothing, changing your behavior if you're dealing with alcohol or drugs or anger or temper. But if to find freedom, that's what the Bible teaches, all the world can offer. And I've sat down with wonderful counselors, and they would just look at you in the face and say, I can't change anything, but I can help you to modify your extreme behavior so your relationships do better. You won't keep losing jobs. And I'm glad for that. But what the Bible teaches us is a complete freedom in any area that we are struggling with. So start thinking for yourself. And then I would say, start thinking constructively. Stop thinking in a way that's kind of pathetic, or in a way that, there's nothing we can do. Nothing's ever going to change. I can't do anything. This is who I am. The Bible comes against this kind of thinking. And it says very clearly that you and I are made in the likeness and the image of God. And when you invite Jesus into your heart, you can have the thoughts of Christ. Literally, I mean, His emotions, His thinking, His purposes, His value for people, rather than this crazy critical spirit that just gets all over you when you look at the people who are around you. And it's usually, it'll always be the closest people to you that you judge the worst. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you believe, all things are possible. He teaches us in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. Why? Because when you listen to the principles, God is, every time you open your Bible, you need to hear God say this to you. You know what I think? Do you want to know what I think about your situation? Do you want to know what I think about how to change this? Do you want to know what I think about your marriage, your kids? Do you want to know what I think about your family? Do you want to know what I think about your job? And then as you dive into the Word of God, you begin to think God's thoughts. Stunning, incredible, phenomenal thinking that comes from the Master himself, from the Creator of the universe, is sharing his thoughts with you and I about how do we function, how we do what we can do. Today, I'm challenging every believer who's listening to me. I'm challenging you. What do you give your attention to? What has most of the hours of your day? And actually, we know what it is because so many people study the habits of people today and how many hours you spend tirelessly flipping through your iPad or your computer or your phone, mindlessly looking for something entertaining when you could do a little bit of that because entertainment's fine. And then begin to declare, I'm going to begin to deal with my thinking. Look at me. Your thinking right now is continually planting your future in your heart. Your thinking right now is making stronger the boundaries that are there, or your thinking is beginning to set you free and clear. If you do not deal with your thinking, then you are going to give attention to stuff that you don't want to become like that. If you're going to just look at vain, arrogant stuff that's just all about things that God said he's going to look after, your clothes, your health, I mean, finances, your career. In Matthew 6, he says, man, focus on the kingdom, because all that stuff, I'm going to bless you with it. It's going to just chase you down. It's going to follow you. But if you give it your attention, you make it your God. What are you thinking about every day? And I'm going to challenge you. Because if you do not begin to see the Bible as this incredible, stunning collection of God's thinking, and that when you begin to get God's thinking, it begins to affect your heart. It affects your beliefs. It affects your feelings. It affects your emotions. It begins to affect every decision you make. It affects your enjoyment of every day. You learn to rejoice in the Lord always. You learn to be thankful for what's going on around you. You learn to speak to mountains and see them move. You learn to get along with people and they can't bother you because the fear of man is a snare, and you unwire that fear, and now your relationships in every direction begin to rise and go to whole new directions. Because you stop blaming everybody else for your problems, and instead you look to the Word and you change your thinking. Your attention is determining your future. What do you give your attention to during your day? And what you give your attention to is determining the deepest heart beliefs, because it continually plants them on the inside. Jesus said, if you want to become born again, have a life like you've never dreamed possible, that ask him to come in. He died on a cross for you so that he could remove every one of your sins, past and future. He died so that you could have a new life that comes into you, so remarkable that he says the old you is dead and you should reckon him dead. And that you are a new creation that the Bible calls born again. If you don't have that experience, if you've never made that decision, or maybe you have and you feel like you've totally drifted away from it, today, why don't you just say right now, wherever you are, Jesus, come into my heart. I give you my life. I choose you. Now help me with my thinking. In Jesus' name, amen.